You could be waiting a very long time indeed if goods that you're wanting to buy are being shipped by Hanjin Shipping. Huge Korean conglomerate Hanjin Shipping has filed for bankruptcy in Korea, leaving ships floating offshore off our own coast and indeed around the world with no date to dock. Catastrophe is brewing, and in Glebe Island in Sydney, the Hanjin California has been seized and arrested by authorities as creditors demand payment.
Many of the locals in Glebe have been complaining about this container ship turning up, and it's ruining their view. And it's actually interesting at the moment, that container ship has been unloaded as to part only, as to certain containers which were they were carrying for another for an Australian shipping line, and the other containers still remain on board. So you're absolutely correct. There are a number of vessels which are doing, basically they're doing donuts, to use an automotive term, in Port Phillip Bay at the moment. We have the Hanjin Milano, which is outside the bay, outside the Heads in Melbourne. Now, of interest, for the last 3 or 4 days, there have been daily reports that a consortium is prepared to sort of fund getting it here, getting it, paying the appropriate bunker fuel, paying for the thing to be tied up and to be unloaded and for the cargo to be dealt with. And the report as of yesterday, and indeed still this morning, is that the vessel has been refused permission to berth in Melbourne by the Korean government. However, I think it's fair to assume that it doesn't want this vessel to arrive in Australia and to be arrested at the port. Because in that case, obviously, the ownership of the vessel comes into question and it falls into other hands.
And this is what's happened with the California, isn't it?
Correct. That's absolutely right. It's been arrested. They cleared some of... And in terms of the California, there's currently a number of people lined up to make claims against it, starting with Glencore, which has a federal court order, basically an arrest order, with obviously the world's biggest handcuffs, but an arrest order relating to unpaid bunker fees or unpaid fuel fees. Below that, one of the terminal operators also has a federal court order saying, so if they get paid, we're next. So often those orders only operate in respect of the vessel itself. Sometimes they apply to the goods on the vessels, but often they only apply to the actual physical vessel, the container ship in this case. Doesn't apply to the goods, so even if the vessel gets to a particular port, it still has to get in there, it still has to be able to be unloaded. The port operator, the port has to allow it in. The actual terminal operator, of which we've got two main ones in Australia, then has to allow it to be unloaded. And then the fun begins about the brawl, the debate between the parties, whether the importer is able to get access to the containers and the goods within the containers.
Yeah, because we've had a ridiculous situation, I believe, where forwarders have been issued with fines by the Port Authority for not picking up in time, but of course they can't get on and do so. So yeah. It's a nasty situation, and it's a world situation. There's vessels being arrested, I suppose, is that the right term, in other countries as well, isn't there?
Exactly, and where this really all starts is this is a particularly it's an unusual situation. Obviously, airlines have issues from time to time, particularly small airlines, even large airlines go into Chapter 11 in the United States. This is a slightly different situation, and to happen in respect of a Korean an apparently successful Korean enterprise is quite unusual. Large companies in Korea are very tightly held and have very close relationships with government, as you. In a manner not dissimilar to what happens in perhaps Japan and perhaps in China.
In this case, it's sort of the way they grew their economy after the Second World War, wasn't it? Because they needed to get sort of critical mass in some of these companies, and that's the way they did it, with government approval. So.
Correct. It only actually owns 37 of its vessels. The remaining 149 are chartered. There are 93 ships, including 79 container vessels, stranded at 51 ports in 26 countries.
And just in terms of world size of shipping companies, this is quite big a shipping company, isn't it?
It's one of the biggies. And, of course, with it going out of action, so to speak, because obviously no one's booking on Hanjin at the moment, that's our number one piece of advice to people. But according to some numbers that we've been looking at, the estimated value of cargo tied up globally on these idle ships is about $14 billion. That's just US. That's just a starting point. When you consider it's also stuff that's coming in, you know, it's getting a very busy time, peak season in the shipping world. It's starting to get that way. People are getting stock in for Christmas and the like. So and we're talking about 400,000 estimated containers stranded on Hanjin ships. So the containers on the ships don't necessarily belong to Hanjin. They might belong to other lines who've booked space on Hanjin ships. So we are dealing with a very significant issue, and if a competitor, there's only a small amount of very large lines, and a lot of these shipping lines have been in, had some financial difficulties of different types. This one's obviously having a significant impact. You take one competitor out of the market, it's going to have an impact on the fees of the others. There's also going to be significant insurance-type claims involved here. We've had some on behalf of the members of the Customs Brokers and Forwarders Council, where I'm acting on behalf of the council, on behalf of its members who are licensed brokers and forwarders. We've already had some preliminary discussions with our members, insurance brokers and the like. And it's interesting, though, the Australian entity, which is the Hanjin representative entity, is still shown, no reference is shown on the Australian Securities and Investment Commission registered.
But, I mean, in the meantime, it could have a big hit on the Korean economy, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because, well, apparently, according to these incredibly nerdy trade law figures I referred to earlier, but which we've been putting together for clients, apparently, on one estimation, $38 million US is the value of goods, mostly TVs and appliances, that Samsung Electronics alone it has on only two Hanjin ships. Hanjin accounts for nearly 8% of Trans-Pacific trade volumes. You take that out, you've got to spread it amongst the others, you'll suddenly feel more comfortable. Apparently, the estimated number of cargo owners is about 8,300 around the world. So that's a lot of people, especially getting into this time of the year where they're pretty keen to get their hands on items where they've... And this is the difficulty, is they've bought the goods overseas, they've arranged the freight, they've paid for the freight, they've got what's called a delivery order, so the shipping line has said, everything's paid for, these are good to go, but they can't actually get them off the ship. And, you know, not only is that, it's also enormously frustrating. You know, it's going to cost the economy significantly, but it's also enormously frustrating for those importers and people on the supply chain, because it's difficult to talk to an SME and say, we don't know when the ship's going to arrive, and these are very hard discussions to have. The issue is, where will these end up? And at some stage, you're going to have to go somewhere, and that every minute that passes, they get that little bit closer to it at the end of the day.
Yeah, Andrew Hudson there. He's a partner in Gaydon's Law Firm and also director of the Export Council of Australia.